to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter number 6. In the last day's newsletter, a gentleman by the name of Leonard Ravenhill, he wrote a book that is one of my favorites called Why Revival Tarries. But Ravenhill tells about a group of tourists that were visiting a very picturesque village. And they walked by an old man who was sitting beside a fence. And in a rather patronizing way, Ravenhill said, one tourist asked the old man, "Were any great men born in this village?" To which the old man replied, "Nope, only babies." But that's true, isn't it? We don't know whether you guys are going to be great or not, because you're born the same way we were born. Babies. Even in our walk with God, we are born and we are spiritual babies. And who can tell? And truth is that we got to grow up in Christ like we've had to grow up physically in this world. And the choice about what you choose to do, whether you're going to put away the childish things, as the great apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And sometimes, and I know that the shirt that we have is probably offensive to a few people. Whenever I wear that man up shirt out in public, it always garners comments and looks. And in our culture, you know, I don't know, maybe you want me to wear a shirt that tells me to woman up. Hopefully you don't. But I still believe that we just need, as men, I think our men need to man up in Christ. And I think our women need to woman up in Christ. That we spent a bunch of our time as babies and too much time being babies in the Christian service, not enough time being adults. And so I'm going to challenge you today to man up or woman up in the Christian faith, Judges chapter 6, and we're going to pick up the story for context in chapter number 1. I'm always, I guess, a constant teacher. Context is what it says before and what it says after. The message really is beginning in verse number 11, but verse 11 only makes sense in light of verses 1 through 10. So the children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. When you understand God's working through the judges, or what we call the period of the judges, that during this period of the judges, it was some high highs, and then they had some very low lows. The nation of Israel had the same tendency that we have as New Testament believers is that we have a tendency to be on fire for God and then cold for God. When we're on fire for God, we're prioritizing God's work. When we're not on fire for God, God's work and him personally are generally on the back burner. And so all the way through the book of Judges, in fact, the story of the judges is that the nation of Israel, they would have someone that led them in a good way. And then when that leader passed away, that they would soon, their heart would be turned away from living for God the way they should. They would get involved in idol worship, etc. And then God's judgment upon them as a people is things would go downhill. And then God would bring someone in to oppress them, to get them to turn around and live for God. Because as human beings, understanding how God works, that tribulation brings about desperation. That God knows that even in his people, that a lot of times what we need to get us back on track is some trouble. Because it's that tribulation that drives us to desperation. The book of Psalms teaches us this. That tribulation drives us to desperation. That drives us then to supplication or calling out to God that we've forgotten about or been living like we don't need Him. That tribulation drove us to desperation, that drove us to supplication, to call on God. And then when we call on God, then here comes God to deliver us. He brings about liberation, which gets us to the destination that God would want us to go. And oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works toward the children of men. But this pattern, and unfortunately, the United States of America, we're no exception to this rule. We started out, when we got our focus on God, things have been going very well for us for a long time, but we're forgetting about God, forgetting our dependence upon God, and that every good thing we ever got all came from God. And so we're in this downward trend. And so in this downward trend, normally what happens is, as things get really bad, that country gets oppressed, and then God's people finally call out to God, and God sends a liberator, hence the judges. And so this book of Judges goes like this. They got a liberator, and then he dies off, and then it tanks, and then they get in trouble again. They call out to God, and here comes God sends another judge, a liberator, and this whole book of Judges is up, down, up, down, up, down. Well, in chapter 6, verse number 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years, oppressed for seven years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. I mean, things are so bad that people are hiding out. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Now, how would you like that? Harvest time is coming, so are the enemies who come in when your garden is ready to be harvested and the fields for the farmers, and they take all of the corn, the soybeans. They come in and pillage all of your gardens, all of your cattle. They steal all your cattle, all your horses, all your hogs. The nation of Israel was oppressed like this for 7 years. Every time the harvest is getting ready to come in, here come the enemies lined up to oppress. It's sad that it took 7 years for God's people to really call out to God, but it was 7 years before they finally, it seems, called out the way they should have toward God. In fact, in verse 5, they came up with their cattle, their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished, right? Right? We would say in our culture, right? No duh, right? Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass that when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Now you got to this land and you got to this place, God said, because of me, because you were in Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt, I gave you this land, and I told you, I'm the Lord your God. And you forget about me, things are going to go bad. Young people, listen to me. You grow up, you're going to be making choices. Mom and dad aren't going to be bossing you around the rest of your life. A few may try, but either you're going to be your own boss. You can live for God or you cannot live for God. But God has commanded you, saying, I'm the Lord your God, live for me. And you're going to make your choice about what you're going to do regarding God, and He's going to make His choice about what He's going to do with you. Now, if you want trouble, then forget about Him. Go to live your life on your own, and I guess see how that works out for you here in about 5 to 10 years. But I think we could probably go across this congregation and have people stand and give testimonies of those that grew up in Christian homes that had an opportunity to live for God and decided that their way was better than God's way. And they have stories and the scars that they still have from their life when they decided that they could live better without God than they could with Him. It's tragic, really. But when things get really bad, the truth is God drives us back. He said, I am the Lord your God, verse 10. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. God's like, you're not listening to me. But they called out to God. And so God has shown this pattern that he raises up deliverers, men, women, to deliver people or to provide for a need that exists. And in verse number 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertains unto Joash the Abiezrite, just in case you think we're just making up stories here. Listen, Humpty Dumpty is a made-up story. They don't tell you when Humpty Dumpty existed and where he lived. Nor did they tell you where Humpty Dumpty got a visit from an angel, because Humpty Dumpty is not real. But this is a story about a real guy by the name of Gideon. He really lived. He really existed. And there was a real angel that came and really appeared to him underneath of this tree. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. J. Vernon McGee said that this is significant, because where they would normally thresh wheat would be on the top of a hill or the top of a mountain, because they would take that wheat and they would throw this up in the air, and then as they threw it up in the air, the wind would drive the chaff away, but then the wheat would fall to the ground and they would gather it up. But when the Midianites are pressing down on you, Gideon, he's down at the wine press. J. Vernon McGee said, and wasn't there, and I'm no expert on the issue, but he said it's significant that they're at the wine press because the wine press was at the bottom of the hill rather than the top of the hill. What we do know is the significance is he's hiding out because he's afraid of the Midianites. We're going to find that out here in a few minutes. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, I just want to give you six things in the next 15 minutes or so that are significant in regards to people walking by faith. That if you were going to ask me, how do you walk by faith? How do you live for God? How do you stay steady living for the Lord? And I would tell you, sometimes not as good as I should. But I would tell you that it's one step at a time. A lady named Amy Carmichael once wrote these words: sometimes when we read the words of those who have more than conquerors, like we're going to read about Gideon, we feel despondent. I feel that I shall never be like that. I could never be a Gideon, she's saying. But they won through step by step, little bits, little denials of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in very little things. They became what they are. No one sees the little hidden steps. They only see the accomplishment. But even so, those small steps were taken. There is no sudden triumph. There is no sudden triumph. There's no sudden spiritual maturity. And if you were going to ask me, how do we get from here to there? If that's a picture of the Christian life and where God wants us to be, the answer is you get to it like this. Step number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, a lot of times in the Christian faith, we wonder how anybody ever became a great believer like that. And the truth is that every one of us started out the same way. There were no people that were born great. We all were born babies. And sometimes becoming a Gideon or a Joshua or a Ruth, that we think that God could never use someone like us to become a great person of faith like they were. But the truth is, they became great not in a moment, but they became great because of little steps taken along the way. The question is, what are the steps? Joshua talks to us about those steps, and those steps are important. They're important because every one of us have to have these six things. The first one, and this is really simple, it's not complicated, I'm not a complicated guy, In chapter 6, verse number 12, the question is this. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, to Gideon, and he said unto him, the Lord is with you. My question is, do you believe in the Lord? Number one, do I really believe? If this walk is a walk of faith, do you believe in the Lord? The second thing is this. The Lord is with you. Do you believe that the Lord is with you? Nobody ever became great in the Lord's service until they first believed that there was a God, that there was a Lord. Nobody ever became great in the God's service until, number two, they really believed that the Lord was with them. Now, sometimes we got to obviously operate on the basis of faith, because just even in Gideon's story, this isn't looking like the Lord's with us. The last 7 years of Gideon's life, they've been hiding out in dens and in caves. They've been oppressed by the Midianites every fall, every late summer and fall when the harvest is coming in. The Midianites are oppressing them, stealing from them, taking their food supply, and they are extremely, extremely poor. And he, at best, is hiding out trying to get a little bit of food down by the wine press in a place you wouldn't normally harvest. So just looking around at the current circumstances, it doesn't appear that God is with us very much. In fact, in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, if God is really with us, then why then is all this befallen us? Well, because you guys have sinned a lot, and God has brought judgment on you through the Midianites to get you to turn back to him, to call on him. That's why. But looking at our current circumstances, there's going to be some time in your life when God's calling you to step up to the plate and do something in his service, that you're going to look around and you're going, I'm just saying, by these current circumstances, it's not looking like God is with us. You got to operate on the basis of faith. Do you believe, number one, that God exists? Number two, do you believe that he is with you, even when sometimes it appears that it is not? In fact, in verse number 12, we see something else. He says, the Lord is with thee. And he says, thou mighty man of what? You're a man. You got some courage to stand up to do what's right. He's threshing wheat where? By the wine press. Just saying, this doesn't look like a mighty man of valor. He's threshing wheat down by the wine press. The circumstances don't look good at all. In fact, we find out that he was doing this because of the fear of the Midianites. And so God is looking at us, and he says to Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. In fact, the statement is, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Do I believe that there's a God? Do I believe that that God is with me no matter what the circumstances look around me? And then do I believe that I am what God says I am? Do you believe that you are what God says you are? Because God speaks to us because he is God, and he speaks often to us about what he knows we can become, not what we are looking like today. But it's faith to believe that God could work in you. And every one of us go through this. Every Christian that ever amounts to anything for God has to step up by faith and just say, I believe that God could work in me and will work in me to see something good accomplished. Number three, do I believe that I am what God says I am? And then in verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and he said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The fourth question is, do I believe that I can do what God says that I can do? Verse 14, God looked on him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You got to believe in God. You got to believe that God is with you personally as an individual. How simple is this? You got to believe that you can become what God says you can become. And you got to believe, you got to step out on faith and believe that you can do what God says you can do. I mean, that's simple. That's just as simple as it comes. In fact, for most of us, this is partly where we miss the boat. And then in verse number 16, And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be what? I'll be with you. Do you believe that God's going to be with you in this process? That's what a great question. I mean, you don't have to, it's not you. It's Him working in you and me and through us. But do I have enough faith in God that God is going to be with me? When you get to verse number 16, the Lord said, and surely I will be with you. And you, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he, Gideon, said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until I come, till you come again. And Gideon went in, made ready a kid, unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there arose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. The question is, am I willing to go and do? Do I believe enough to go and do what God has called me to do? That's number five. Now you might say, well, Gideon had clear direction, preacher, on what he was supposed to go and do. I mean, how clear is that? Go. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. You're going to deliver Israel. How clear is that? But preacher, my problem is I don't know what God's calling me to go and do. So you got to believe that God's calling you to go and do something. Right here is where a lot of people get lost in this whole transition. They believe that there's a God. They believe God's with them. They believe wholeheartedly that they are who God says they are, that they can do what God says they can do. They're just sitting around waiting on instructions. But the truth is, in the New Testament, we are told to, quote, go the extra mile for others. We're taught in Matthew to go and learn what I will have mercy and not sacrifice means. We're told in Matthew 21 to go and work in God's vineyard, that we are told in Matthew 22 to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. In Matthew chapter 28, we're told to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he promises his presence, and that's number six. Do I believe that God will be with me in the process? Do I believe there's a God? Do I believe he is with us? Do I believe I am what God says I am, or that I can become what God says that I can become? Do I believe that I can do what God says that I can do, that I can be successful in the thing? Number five, do I believe that I am called by God to go and do something in God's service? And I would just say, you better know that you are. Every one of us are called by God to do something or some things in His service. And then number six, do I believe that God will be with me as I go and do? That's all these people were. Gideon was a guy who's going to go and he's going to lead the people to fight the Midianites. Other than that, we would never have heard of him, but by one step at a time and by faith, he followed God, and we look at him and we go, the guy's a hero. We look at a guy like Jeremiah and we go, the dude's a hero. We look at someone like Ruth and we go, man, that Ruth, she was willing to risk. We look at someone like Esther and we see that she was willing to risk her life to advance God's work. Now the question is, do you believe and do I believe that there's a God, that God is with us, that I am who God says I am, that I can do what God says that I can do, that God is sending me to go do something in His service? And then last, number six, do Do I believe that God will be with me in the process? And based on whether you believe that or not, is going to determine. And if you get stuck on any step along the way, your service to God will stop. Could He work in you? Is it possible that there's a Gideon or a Joshua? Is there a Paul? Is there a Peter? Is there a Barnabas? Is there a Mary? You guys were all born the same way that I was born. We're just babies. And then God requires that we operate on the basis of faith, because if you look at what you think you can do, that's sight. And you're not going to get off the ground very far on sight. But if we walk by faith, then the possibilities become as big as God is. You with me? Who would think that maybe there's a little kid out of Manchester that maybe coulda, might? Who would think? Truth is, I believed ever since I came out to this county that there are some real diamonds in the rough out here. And that we kind of have an advantage, because if God uses not many noble, not many mighty, then that gives people like us an opportunity. That if God uses the poor things, if He uses the weak things, the things that are despised, to overturn or overcome the things that are, then people like us, we got a real chance that God could work in us to bring about some great things in God's service in this world. But you got to believe that He's with you, that you can be what God knows you can become. You got to believe by faith that you can do what God says that you need to do. And there's a lot of reasons out there in the world to doubt that. But by faith, you got to, by faith, be willing to go and do what God has told you to go and do. And then number six is, you got to be willing to believe that God's going to be with you in the process. You know what this church is today? It's the work, it's the result of God working in the heart of several people that if they would step out on faith to believe those things, that God could work in us.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in awe of you. Deserve your son, sent to die.